Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two more with the Marlins tonight and tomorrow, then back home for a big homestand with the Mets and Dodgers. Team USA Basketball is working toward its final roster before beginning defense of its World Cup championship this fall. In yesterday's blue-white scrimmage, the Hawks' John Collins led the white team with 12 points as the blue team won 97-78. After the game, Thaddeus Young of the Bulls and Bam Adebayo of the Heat were cut. The final 12 may not be determined until 48 hours before the first World Cup game in China, September 1st. And Atlanta United will host NYCFC tomorrow at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Each team controls its own destiny moving forward, but the Five Stripes have played two more games than New York City FC and lead them by just 1 point for second place in the standings. Kickoff at 4 here on 92.9. With updates every 20 minutes, I'm Paul Crane from the Kia Studios on your home for Thursday night's Falcons-Jets game. Kickoff at 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
Yo, Ackworth.
Yeah!
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There's nothing else to comment on. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. We wasn't on the team. I mean, simple as that. We played 11 games after we left. Played 15 games. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing to say that I haven't already said. I love Kelly. But, hey, you got to be on the team. I mean, certainly didn't. He could have been here, but he wasn't. That's the way it is.
It's college football game time. Frisco Forth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. That was, of course, Clemson coach Dabo Swinney and what has become the most talked about soundbite this week in college football. Dabo on Kelly Bryant. And, yes, John Chuckery.
Just want to say our buddy Danny, who listens to us all the time, big social media follow and everything like that, he's right. Another like Mac of the week for the offseason, Manny Diaz. Went from one day at Temple to, hey, I get to coach at Miami now.
So that's a pretty good upgrade.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
From Temple one day, and then all of a sudden you look up and, oh, Miami's open. I'm going to go down there and coach.
Yeah.
I like that fit. You know, his dad was once the mayor of Miami.
It is a great fit for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that is when I talk about Kirby wasn't going to go anywhere but to Georgia because that was his dream job. That was Manny's dream job. And as soon as he found out, I bet he was like, all right, call my agent. Tell him I ain't coming. All right, tell him I ain't coming. They keep their money. Here's the signing bonus, whatever they gave me. I'm going back to the U. So great, good for Manny.
So, guys, Kelly Bryant will not get a national championship ring from Clemson. And, look, I don't care one way or the other, really. Doesn't, you know, some people say, well, it looks petty or what. I don't care.
It's petty, but who cares?
I don't really care. But I'll say this, Randy. I think what Dabo is doing is he's trying to set a precedence.
Okay.
That, look, if you leave during the season, you're not getting one.
I agree. But, see, this is my thing, Chris. And this is why I say it's petty. Because I thought of anybody that would give a player a ring,
Dabo.
I thought it would be Dabo. Yeah. I did. But I'm not upset with him about his reason because he's right. Kelly did leave. Now,
look, if Dabo wanted to screw him, he could have played him in a fifth game last year.
And that was the point I was about to get to because he knew that after four games, you know what, I can get another year of eligibility if I don't play in this game. And then Dabo did right by him by saying, you know what, Kelly's going to play the rest of this year. Trevor's going to play the rest of the year. And Kelly left. I mean, now, he could have still sat out those four. He could have sat out the rest of the season, still had another year and transferred after the season. But he was like, hey, I'm out then. My feelings hurt.
And that's what I think it is, Randy. I think it's the circumstance by which Kelly Bryant left is that, let's say if he'd gotten hurt and didn't play the rest of the year and then transferred out of the program.
He would have got a ring.
Yes. But Kelly Bryant decided after four games when he saw that that guy was going to take over his job, which everybody in America
knew. Everybody knew except for Kelly Bryant.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, actions have consequences to him.
They do.
And again, you know how this all started was that somebody asked Kelly Bryant about about this at a press conference. He was asked about, Kelly Bryant was asked first, and then it came back to Dabo about, hey, are you giving, because I think Kelly Bryant was asked the question and said, I don't, nobody's contacting me about giving me a ring or something like that. Then Dabo was asked about it and kind of led to, you know, to all that. So I don't understand. This tells you where we're at in the media cycle, that this became the story that it became.
Yeah.
Because
it is still talking season, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's still talking season. Also, I don't know if you guys saw this, Dabo.
This was great.
There's some more new. Well, there's a couple of things I want to touch on. One thing is not on our list here, and that's that Dabo came out saying that the ACC is better than the SEC. But I go back to, that's the conference he coaches in. What do people expect Dabo Swinney to say?
He's out of his damn mind. All right, let's just call it what it is. And Dabo knows that.
But I told you, he's the number one quote machine in America right now.
You're right.
I mean, he is. He's the guy that everybody is leaning on. I thought you were going to talk about the next one, the grind.
So Dabo not buying that the SEC grind wore down Alabama. This is a direct quote now from Dabo Swinney. He says, listen, the SEC is a great conference, but I don't think they've been as deep the last few years. I think they've had two or three really good teams, and then it's kind of hit or miss from there. It's an awesome league for sure. I know people say that Alabama was tired because they went through the grind and had to play all these teams. Well, they won by an average of 33 points per game going into the playoffs, so they ought to be well-rested. He goes on to say, this was in an interview with ESPN. He said, my thing is, are you serious? They're tired? Then you look at Clemson. We won 12 games by 20-plus. Who really challenged Alabama in the SEC? They didn't get challenged by anybody until the Georgia game.
Oh, I thought it was dead on.
Yeah.
I think it was. I mean,
at some point in time, guys, you just got to admit, hey, we got our rear end handed to us by a better
team. And that's the thing about it. Y'all got y'all butt kicked. All right? Right. Ain't got nothing to do with no grind or nothing. Clemson came out there and put it and took it to you. And I don't know if it was West Durham or Dave Archer that said this when we were up at our Falcons training camp. Clemson is written space.
Two Falcons insiders, by the way.
Come on, man. Clemson is written space in Alabama's head. Because you don't hear nothing about Clemson. I mean, they're saying nothing about Alabama or nothing. All you hear is everybody making an excuse for Alabama losing. They got their butt kicked by a better football team.
Here's a good thing to look at. What's the CBS night game this year in the SEC?
Right now, it's what is it, Georgia and Notre Dame?
What's it been for the last 10 years?
It's been what, Alabama and LSU?
Oh, has that game been any good?
It's been pretty good.
It has been?
No, it really
hasn't. Last few years?
Last few years,
yeah. Hadn't been. I mean, and I say that just from the standpoint of we hype up, well, here's A&M,
right,
and then Alabama goes and drills them. Well, hey, LSU's coming, Randy.
And what happens?
And Alabama just goes and drills them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
It's like hyping up those stiffs that Tyson used to face.
Iron Bowl's coming. You know, that's the best rivalry. Iron Bowl's coming. Okay. Right. Whammo. You know. I mean, that's the reality is that sometimes it's kind of been – now, look, you put LSU or A&M in the ACC, yeah, outside of Clemson, they probably would be one of the second or third best teams in that conference of that. I believe that. I think LSU could be the second best team in the ACC behind Clemson. But the reality is that those teams aren't better than Alabama. And it's we hype some of those matchups up, hoping and praying that this is going to be the time LSU – I've done it.
Yeah.
LSU's going to win. LSU's going to, whammo. You know, Leonard Fournette's got 8 carries for 1 yard, you know, and it's like, crap. You know, I mean, you want those. Look, we all harken back to that 9-6 game. Yeah, that's been a long time
ago.
Trent
Richardson and played in 3 leagues.
And everybody loves to go back. Yeah. Well, you know, A&M beat Alabama. Yeah, you know how many years ago Johnny Manziel was at this point? I mean, like, that hadn't happened the last few years.
Johnny Manziel played in 3 leagues.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, he's had 2 girlfriends and 3 football leagues. I mean, since then.
And a wife.
Yeah.
To your point, Randy, about maybe Clemson being in Alabama's head a little bit, I think this was the comment that kind of got this whole thing started at SEC Media Days when somebody asked Dylan Moses about the toughest game he played last year.
Toughest game I played in was the Georgia game last year in the SEC Championship. And the reason I say that is because it was a very aggressive game on both sides of the ball. Georgia came with it. We came with it. And I just remember, after that game, I just felt like I got into a brawl. My entire body was hurting. took me a couple of days to get back healthy and all that, you know, to take care of myself. But that was one of the hardest games I've ever played in.
Because you ain't make no contact with nobody. You were chasing the whole day.
Well, it's easy. By the way,
you were running after wide receivers that were flying down the field.
And you know why he says that? Because they never had a chance to beat Clemson.
Never.
At least with Georgia, right. They had a chance to win the Georgia game. They didn't have a chance to beat Clemson because they got steamrolled in that game.
Beat down.
Yeah.
If you didn't know any better, you would swear Clemson was at SEC Media Days this
year. That's all
they talked
about.
It was so much
chatter.
That's
all they talked about.
So much chatter. No, agreed. Let's hear one more time from Georgia Tech coach Jeff Collins as we continue our look around the SEC. Coach Collins talking about what he wants to see from his Jackets in year number one.
Expectations are to get better every single day, to build a culture that's built on effort, where we compete at every single thing that we do, learn our processes on how we become a great football program, and every single day we're in that battle.
John, we talked about this a little bit last week. If this is going to continue to evolve at Georgia Tech, it all comes back around. Right now for them, in the short term, it's all about recruiting.
Yeah.
100%. And they've done give them credit, they've done a heck of a job so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tech has some good things going on. Their two leading rushers at running back from last year, Mason and Howard, are both back. You know, in theory, you have your quarterback back in Tobias Oliver, but he's not the fit for that offense.
Right.
But he may get a chance to actually do some things just because
they ain't got nobody else.
Well, the other kid that's coming back that a lot of people think will win the job. He's coming off an injury from last year and didn't get a chance to play. He's their best passer. But you're right, Chris. I mean, just you're trying to get your feet wet. But
yep.
I'll say this about Tech, though, Randy. You know, it's horrific at the very start of the year.
Uh-huh.
It's horrific at the very end of the year.
Right.
That's two of the top three teams.
Yes.
In between, it's junk.
They should win.
With all due respect, the Coastal plus South Florida and whoever, they got a bunch of junk that's mixed in. NC State, that's their cross game besides Clemson, is NC State this year, Randy. Like, I'd rather have that this year than have gone Finley and Chubb over the last couple of years. I'll take NC State this year. So, you know, Carolina, Duke, I'm not telling you Tech's better than these teams. Chris Landry, I heard Chris Landry talking about, he doesn't think Tech's going to win three games this year.
I don't believe it. I think Tech's going to get at least six. I was on the record there. I think Tech's going to make a bowl game this year because of that weak schedule.
Yeah, it's junk.
But here's the thing. It's going to be growing pains, though. They're going to have some grinded out games. And as long as they, and I think this will be a successful season for Tech, as long as they get better every week. I think that's all Coach Collins wants.
Yep. Like it may not show up on the field every week.
But just getting better. Because they got that dog in the front, and they got a dog in the back. Yeah.
We've talked a lot today about Georgia. We've talked a lot today about Alabama. We're going to give you three players to watch in the SEC. Not from Georgia, not from Alabama. We'll give you three others from around the rest of the conference. That's next. College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
I feel, in my opinion, I'm the best one. And that's, you know, not just because I'm a confident person, but I actually believe that. I feel like my teammates believe in me too, and Coach Fisher does. So, like I just told him, I can come out here and say that in front of the media, but I got to go out and prove it on the field. So, obviously, the SEC is, you know, has a lot of great quarterbacks, and they've all proven it, you know, throughout the years. But I feel like I'm the best.
College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael, glad to have you with us. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at 92.9 The Game. You can find this show at 929 CFB Game Time. You can find Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find John Chuckery at JMCH316. And you can find me at Chris Goforth 1. We have talked a lot about the SEC. We've talked a lot about the ACC today. We'll switch gears back over to the SEC. Talked a lot about Georgia and Alabama today, but now we're going to turn our focus on the rest of the conference and talk about three players to watch in the SEC this year that don't play for either Georgia or Alabama. That was Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond that you heard coming back from a break talking about SEC quarterbacks. So, John Chuckery, you want to lead us off here with your three players to watch, not from Georgia or Alabama?
Yeah, I've got Randy's guy and your guy, Albert. I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Okuwebunam.
Albert O, baby.
That's twice, Twitter.
Albert O.
Where does How does he project to the next level?
I think he's a first-round talent.
Okay.
I do. And what's helping him is that he's playing in a pro-style offense, even though it don't really matter, but it helps him.
Does he have a quarterback who's going to get the ball to him?
No.
Because this ain't Drew Lock.
No.
If he doesn't have the shoulder injury last year, Randy, that sidelined him for part of the year, he's catching passes in the NFL right now.
He's in the NFL.
Keshawn Vaughn at Vandy. Some people think talking about maybe he could be the guy. They've been so raggedy running the football last few years for a team that kind of has built a reputation on we're tough and we run the football. You know, when Webb in his last year was raggedy running the football, they haven't run the football very well. But they don't have they don't have a quarterback like they've had. You know, they don't have Shermer's gone.
Right.
And I'm a guy who can huck it around. So, but that's the problem though. Everybody's gonna sell out on them running the football. Can he understand that everybody's coming, you know, after him?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you a guy on the defensive side that watch out for C.J. Henderson down in Florida.
Good one.
I know everybody's talking about Delpit and J.R. Reed and all this guy. C.J. Henderson's a hell of a player,
he's
man. They got two really good corners.
Well, they always had two good corners at Florida.
Is. Yeah, he's the next. He's that next guy that's coming up. Watch C.J. Henderson. They're still going to be salty on defense. I mean, I know they're counting on Franks and P. Ryan and all that offensively. They're still going to be salty, and it's going to be guys like Henderson out there that are going to be part of that defensive unit.
John, I agree with you. I had Albert Okwuegbunam on mine as well.
God bless you.
I had Kellen Mond. We heard from him coming back.
You're high
to start
on Kellen
break.
Mond.
No, well,
I understand.
I will say this. Here's the deal. If Texas A&M is going to be what a lot of people think they can be, which is that team that supplants LSU as number two in the West behind Bama, if that's going to happen,
you got to play well.
Then it's got to be Kellen Mond.
Right. This is supposed to be Jimbo's calling card, right? And that he's going to make
quarterback whisperer.
He's going to make those guys
make them better.
And listen, you said it. Mond did take a big leap.
He did.
Mond did a lot of things last year. I don't think people thought he was going to be able to do. Now, the other thing about that, though, Chris, that I'll say is they have to learn how to close out and win some of those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a chance to beat Clemson, but they didn't. You know, they lost to Auburn last year too when Auburn's quarterback last year. Why am I going blank? The kid from Baylor,
Jarrett Stidham.
Stidham brings him back in that game. They have to learn how to win too down there too, and that's where Mond has got to also. He's got to be the guy that helps him win some of those games.
And lastly, for me, it's Felipe Franks, the quarterback at Florida, a guy that had 12 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Could he be the biggest X factor of the SEC this year?
Oh, I think he is.
Yes.
If he gets that Dan Mullen magic sprinkled on him, Florida could be really good.
They're going to be good anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think
they're a 10-win team.
I do, too. Oh, yeah. I have no problem. As much as I don't like him, they're going to be good.
We talk about that. I still think the toughest game Georgia's got is Florida.
I've always said that.
I think more than Notre Dame or Auburn or A&M, I think that Florida game is the game to circle on your calendar and say, uh-oh.
I agree.
That could be the game.
When it comes to quarterbacks, Randy, it's, you know, the first thing is you got to know where to go with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is you got to deliver that accurately.
Yep.
I feel like he knows where to go with the football.
He's not going to get there all the time.
But he's got to improve on his accuracy. If Dan Mullen can, as Chuckery said, sprinkle a little bit of that Mullen magic dust on him, then and he can become, and you're not asking for a huge leap.
You're not asking him to be
just a little more accurate.
He doesn't need to be Tebow or Wolf or one of those guys.
Just a little more accurate with. I think they could be. Yeah, Shane Matthews. You could. You know, they could be really, really
good.
Rex
Grossman your freshman year.
change the play at the line of scrimmage.
I know it's college show. You got Antonio Callaway, 4-game suspension.
What I tell you about him? He's a damn knucklehead.
Yeah.
Damn knucklehead.
Yeah.
Randy, what about you?
I got Alberto also, tight end from Missouri. I think he's the best tight end in all of college football right now, and hopefully they find a way to get him the football because he's just a straight playmaker. We got Grant Dippitt. I think that he is the best safety.
Is he the best defensive player in the conference? I think he's the best defensive player in the conference.
He's the best safety in the conference. I think he's a straight playmaker. The guy, he's going to be a top 10 pick without a doubt. My favorite for the best player, defensive player in the SEC, is Derrick Brown, the D lineman from Auburn.
He is
a grown man. All right, I'm talking about you want to talk about a guy who could dominate and change the complex of a football game. It don't get no better than him. I'm surprised he came back for a senior year. I thought he's a first round lock. And we were talking about, and again, to get away from college football, all the greatest deepest defensive line draft class ever. I thought he was going to be a part of it, but he didn't. He decided to come back. And I just think he's just a dominant player that can change the game with the, whether it's stuffing the run or getting after the passer.
That Auburn defensive line is going to be salty.
Are they not going to have to win some games with that? That defense is going to have to help them win
especially
some games.
Early. Yeah. Especially early.
Yeah, they have to help them win some games.
So they and figure out what they've got.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but I think, you know, you don't think of Auburn as a defensive group, but the last few years, their defensive line.
They've been nasty, four years, they've been really
a lot of really good players on their defensive line over the last 3-4 years.
Well, the Nick Coe, I mean, he's not bad either now. I mean, they've got some guys there in that defensive line. That is our three players to watch in the SEC this year, not from Alabama or Georgia, because it felt like, you know, last week, Randy, you weren't here, of course, but – John and I went through and we started doing the position groups. And I told John and Brian this last week. It was like when you start talking about the best position groups across the country, it's like Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. Yeah. All the way down, almost clearly across the board. So to kind of be able to highlight some of these guys that.
Well, they had 11 or 12 of the first 22 preseason all-conference guys was Alabama, Georgia, or something like
crazy.
That.
That's crazy.
Because Georgia had like four guys. I thought Georgia would get five because I thought Wynn was going to be first-team all-conference. So they only ended up with four, which includes Rodrigo, by the way, too. But they had four guys. I thought they'd have five, and Alabama, I think, had seven guys themselves or whatever like that. So, I mean, half the first-team all-SEC, you know, team, preseason team, was Alabama, Georgia guys out there. Both running backs, the quarterback, offensive line.
Receivers.
Yeah, linebackers, you know, one of the safeties, I mean, kicker. I mean, so take your – by the way, all the special teams guys, you know, all the special teams guys are all Alabama players out there. But it's not a good year for quarterbacks in that conference outside those top two, though. I mean – you get past Tua and Jake Fromm, man. I know you like Kelly Bryant. Fleabag,
there's a bunch of question marks.
Yeah, you wonder who's going to be that guy that steps up to be right behind those two guys.
Well I'll
the
tell
gap,
you what.
The gap is so big with those two guys compared to everybody else in the conference.
I agree. I mean, you know.
Even Kellen Mond and Joe Burrows and those guys that have been around.
It's better than it's been. Because you remember that one year when it was just god awful.
It was hot garbage.
When it was like Grayson Lambert and all them.
Jimmy Johnson out of Auburn
those
and all those
bums.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than it has been.
Yeah.
I think the question is, you know, you take a guy like Felipe Franks, you know he's got a big arm. They've got talent around him. I mean, they've got guys that can go get the ball. The question is
– by the way, that's another guy I just mentioned. Joe Burrow is another guy that people are looking at that
– they always –
bringing – what's his name? From the Saints.
Brody.
Brody, yeah, from the Saints. Bringing him over, opening that offense up. Again,
what
I hear all
ever,
that.
I'd ever. Because you don't know, he going to meddle and meddle and meddle.
Let me tell you.
You know that.
I was going to put two tight ends in the field. Because they actually do have some running backs coming back, and they got one of the top prospects, top recruits in the country coming into that program. They're still going to line up and run.
Yes.
But you know what's funny is they've got really good wide receivers. Really good
wide receivers.
You saw
what happened in the bowl game. You saw what happened in the bowl game when they let them open it up.
Yep.
Joe Burrow was able to throw the ball downfield, but – you know, he's going to be meddling and everything like that. Oh, why are we running the two tight ends?
See, that's one of the things in talking to T. Bob Hebert, the interview we played earlier, if you missed it, you can find it online. Go to 929thegame.com. But he said that's one of the differences in Coach O this time around compared to what he was at Ole Miss is the fact that he knows now, I can't coach wide receivers. I need to leave those guys alone.
When did he figure that out?
Because apparently before – you know, he meddled in everything. So, according to what T-Bob said, it's going to be a little more hands-off and let those guys on offense kind of do their
thing. Didn't they bring in Matt Canada, who was supposed to revolutionize that offense down there in LSU? And what happened?
Well, how many times have we been through this narrative?
Didn't they make him the highest-paid coordinator in the country, too, to do all that, too?
How long did it last?
Uh-huh.
1 year, right?
1 year.
Okay, okay.
1 year.
So much for that. I ain't calling T-Bob no liar or nothing, but I don't believe it.
Oh, no, it sounds good.
It does.
Well,
it does.
I think it's one of those things that, you know, With that early season game against Georgia Southern in week one, what does that offense look like when they finally get on the field? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Leonard Fournette's brother's still there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be in the backfield if he's healthy. What does it look like?
Two tight ends in the eye.
Everything they did in the spring game was out of the gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's great.
That's so beautiful.
When who'd they play in April?
Each other.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of offenses, Tyler Simmons, wide receiver at Georgia, says we'll see a whole new offense at UGA this season. We'll break down what that means next. It's College Football Game Time on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Of course, it's going to be a kind of a change just coming from two different OCs, but Coley's bringing a lot of juice to the offense. He's trying to kind of balance the offense a little bit more. We're doing a lot. You're going to see a completely different offense this year, and it's really going to be fun. It's going to be exciting offense. And
College Football Game Time on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Crisco Forth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael.
Georgia Tech.
That's Georgia wide receiver Tyler Simmons saying the Dogs will show off a whole new offense come this season. I think it all depends on what whole new offense means. I mean, I think there's some varying degrees there of different that you may see in the Georgia offense, guys. I don't know that this is going to be this is not going to be an air raid offense.
I'll tell you what the number.
I laughed so hard when I heard that.
I'll tell you what the number one difference is. This, you got a 3-year quarterback now.
That's the biggest
difference.
Exactly.
Is that ain't nothing else changing? But you got a guy now that's upperclassman now. Now it's going to be his last year,
right?
But he's an upperclassman.
But hold on, here's the thing. I and JC, I posed this question one day during the week: was are they going? Is Jake Fromm going to win games for you? You know what I'm saying? Are you going to win because of him? And what I mean by that is, if you get into a tough game,
right,
can he throw you a win? Can he throw you to a win?
He did against Florida last year.
Yes, he did. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Can he do it in the big games?
Because
if he gets to 30 passes, we lose.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we got to have that, if he has to throw the ball 30, 35 times, but can you win?
Didn't he get it for the first three quarters of the Alabama
game? Alabama was not his fault. 2 years in a row.
Right.
It was other guys.
But I'm saying,
he
played really well.
He was great.
The first half of
the
Alabama.
He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. But I'm saying, when that number gets up, though, you know, he was efficient. He was like, you know, on the money. But I'm talking about when that number gets up towards 30, can you still win games? If he throws 30 times, is it a point where we're losing and we have to throw to get back in the game? Can we win that game?
Well, who's Georgia going to be down to?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, anything happened.
And also, too, I mean, that's still Kirby Smart standing on the sideline.
And thank you very much. Because you changed OCs, my guy. You know how I feel about Cheney. You know how I feel about Coley. Ain't different.
By the way, he's going to have a rough time.
But anyways, it's still Kirby. That's Kirby's offense. And how Kirby want to win games? Kirby want to run the ball, play good defense, and throw it when you have to. Now, I think there'll be more shots down the field. I think there'll be more just straight drop back, let Jake Fromm just let throw the ball down the field. But ain't going to be no spread option.
Yeah, this is not going to look like Jeff Brom's.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
No. Come on, man. You're going to see more running backs get the ball out the backfield, all that. But, I mean, as talented as they are, they got George Pickens, number one receiver out of Alabama.
Well, the
I
other
love
thing,
Blaylock.
You got an offensive line that should
dominate
people.
You got the best
people.
Offensive line to just move people.
Oh, you know Kirby's going to take advantage of having that offensive line. And,
together for one more year.
And have those guys and those stable running backs, and he's going to take advantage of that.
And just lean on them. That's what he's going to do. So, yeah. I mean, I love what Simmons said. It sounds good. But, no, they're going to take more shots down the field probably. But, no, this is going to be a 60-40 still run the pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
You got the best running back in the conference coming back.
Why do I need to throw to anybody? Yeah.
You got a guy that's not looking to try to be like a 1,000-yard running back. You're talking about a guy 15, 1,600-yard type of running back coming back in your pro. You know, you got to get all that out of those guys now because they ain't going to be.
They're leaving. Yeah, Andrew Thomas gone. I think Isaiah Wilson, if he has a great season, he's gone.
Swift and Fromm all
gone. I'm going to be later.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, appreciate you, Georgia.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Here's what offensive coordinator James Coley had to say about his offense.
I think in the pro style game, you coordinate to your players. Players, not plays, right? It's a little cliche in the coaching profession. But it's the truth. Players, not plays. So Coach Smart is all about players and not plays. I think in the pro
That's James Cooley on the pro style offense. Players, not plays. Georgia's got players.
Hell yeah, stacked.
They got a lot of players.
They are stacked.
It's a matter of you have a quarterback that you can trust now.
That's the most
important
thing.
Things. I mean, to help run that offense and to be a stabilizing force. And look, we talked about Jalen Hurts. There's no moment going to be too big for Jake Fromm at
this
point. You
took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. I was just going to echo
that. He stared down arguably the best team in the country, one of the best teams in the country, one of the two best teams in the country the last 2 years.
And said, bring it. And said, bring it.
And he stared down Jacob Eason, and he stared down Justin Fields and never flinched.
And said, bring it. Bring it.
What you hope, don't you, Randy, is that Texas game was the best thing that could have happened to Georgia?
I will be so honest with you. It was. It was. Because I'm telling you now, you just did get beat by Texas. You had embarrassed by Texas.
And after what you pulled the night before.
All that tweeting and ha-ha-ha and key-key-keying and got foots put up in you. That's what happened in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing that could have happened to them. And
is that one of those
games? And that video, you know how they have, you know, the fancy weight rooms with the TVs and everything? Yeah. That was on there.
Yeah.
That was on there. You getting your beat down.
But, you know, it's kind of funny. It's one of those games where maybe that's the best thing that happened to both of those teams.
Yeah.
Was Texas and Georgia learned its lesson, and maybe that's the game that helps Texas, too, just as far as, you know, are they ready to get to the next level?
I didn't realize Ellinger had accounted for over 40 touchdowns. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, his numbers were outstanding.
He had a big year.
Yeah. And remember, he was splitting time.
He was splitting time, exactly.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, it's Texas back.
I would have had them number 6 in my poll.
Uh-huh.
One of the wide receivers came back. It's either Jalen Hurts or Ellinger is the best player in that conference. So that's why the Red River Shootout is going to be so much fun,
right?
Because that's the two best teams, two best players, two best quarterbacks. Everybody goes at it. I know Iowa State's got some stuff going on and stuff like that, but that's the two guys. That's the two dudes. And look, Texas has beaten Oklahoma in that game, so it's not like they're trying to get over that.
With their Heisman quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like Georgia, Alabama. They've beaten Oklahoma, but now's the time to go win that conference. Yeah, now's time to go win it.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk a little bit about Georgia's offense and what it may look like this year. More from offensive coordinator James Coley. He calls Jake Fromm a grinder.
Jake's a grinder, and that's part of his greatness that we say in our room. What's your greatness today? You know, what are you going to be great at? And he's a constant grinder. It's always inspiring to go in there when a guy it really matters to that person.
So I love a good grinder, by the way, too. The sandwich.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, are we getting fed? Is anybody bringing a plate of food this year for college
ask
football?
Andre Hastings over here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man. You ain't exactly thick no more either, all right? You gonna get up off me because I'm slim, man. All right, stop it. Leave me alone.
Right,
but yeah, you know what? Because we're on Saturday mornings and John Chuckery can't eat until noon, so it's hard to bring food in here. But if y'all would like me to bring some snacks through, I just brought me some seaweed chips.
Some seaweed chips.
I brought some seaweed chips in there and everything. So yeah, y'all can have some.
And Brian just gave you an eye roll at seaweed chips, by the way. I just want you to know
I got some oxtails. But John Chuckery can't eat it. See what I'm saying? Oh, you don't care about him. Yeah, nobody does.
By the way, back to Georgia for just a second. Pulled the new Sports Illustrated.
Glad Fred Gibson's here with us today.
pulled the new Sports Illustrated out of the mailbox yesterday. Jake Fromm on the cover of their college football preview.
Really? Don't they have four? Is it ESPN? One of them's having like four.
Yeah, and it may be SI. Fromm was on the cover that I pulled out, but they've got spreads on him, and Justin Herbert is in there, Tua is in there, and Trevor Lawrence is in there. So
this is again.
When's the last time Georgia has had literally a top three or four quarterback? Because I'm not even sure Stafford was considered.
Oh, I think Matt Stafford was pretty high.
From a pro prospect,
I mean, he was definitely number one pick in high school,
right?
But as far as college career,
right.
Eric Zier.
Exactly. Maybe. Yeah.
2008.
It definitely wasn't Buck.
Oh, yeah. Run, Lindsey. Yeah. I mean, he made the pass.
Yeah. He went 1-for-12 for 7 yards.
That was an important 7 yards.
Yeah, it was. First down. Yeah. Sorry. Is that our weekly shot?
We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. It's college football game time here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With Malcolm Mitchell.
College football game time, Sports Radio.
And the hell with Georgia Tech.
Listen, it's appropriate to have Bulldog Chuckery and Reggie Brown in studio for all this.
Hey, man, you don't stop. Bulldog Chuckery. No, see, you have no nicknames anymore. Right?
I do. Bulldog Chuckery.
See, you give yourself nicknames. The Rattlesnake, no. You got your soul snatched by Double X, so you the Garter Snake. And Bulldog Chuckery.
The Garter Snake.
Bulldog Chuckery. I mean, he's not existent right now.
Hey, Chuck Dowdle follows
okay,
me on Twitter.
Chuck Dowdle follows me too. So, yeah.
But you're a damn good dog.
Whoopty whoopty.
That's good. Bulldog Chuckery.
It's going to wrap it up for us today. By the way, if you missed any part of today's show here on College Reggie Football Brown. Game Time, you can find it on our website. Just go to 929thegame.com. We've got our five games we're most looking forward to from week one of the college football season. That is up and available for you, as well as the interview with former LSU center T. Bob Hebert. Next week, by the way, next Saturday, study up, boys, because we've got a lot of predictions next week.
Yeah.
A lot of predictions. Really? SEC, ACC.
Is Damian Gary back with us next week?
Hey,
man. Stop.
What? All right.
Okay. Don't hate on. No, I mean, because you over there looking extra slim yourself. Okay.
No. I got the whole list of all Georgia wide receivers. Bryce Hunter, Juan Daniels, Chris Conley. You know, Hassan Graham. I got them all in front of me.
Hassan, dude. Look at that, Abby.
That's gonna do it for us. Stick around, Rob Tribble, Hugh Douglas. They're next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.